Are you live this morning? Oh, no, this evening. It's the evening time. I'm halfway alive, I feel like. Yeah. I had a little bit of coffee, but that's all right, because you're not going to be hearing from me tonight. All right, well, hold on. Let's recap really quickly. So middle school, you were not here with us last week. We started a new sermon series, and so it is entitled, Oh, the Places You'll Go. Oh, the places you'll go. How many of you have read this Dr. Seuss book? Dr. Seuss. No? Okay, you haven't. Okay, so it's a popular book to be given out around, like, graduation time, because I feel like it's going to have, like, all the answers to your to life when you graduate high schools. Like, not really, I'm being sarcastic, but it kind of explains, like, the places you'll go in life and kind of the temptation that will come your way, and that kind of explains all this tape on the floor. And so last week we talked about our eternal GPS and where our eternal GPS is set on. So you'll notice down the middle we have a solid. I use gold or yellow because I feel like that symbolizes Jesus. That's Wizard of Oz. Okay, different. You're not close. Okay. So I feel like yellow is, you know, okay, you get what I mean. So this is straight. It's just going. It's going straight to the back, and we're just going to say that's heaven. And you'll see there's all these routes. Some lead back to heaven, and some don't. And so last week we talked about our eternal GPS, and so the goals in our life, how they are ultimately determining our ultimate destination. We talked about how our, like a GPS, like, I don't know if some of you guys have used like a Garmin. I feel like that's kind of like going out with like cell phones nowadays. But like a Garmin, you plug in your destination to a GPS. You feel like you're going to go to the mall, but all of a sudden you end up at the airport. Like, you're going to be disappointed when you arrive at terminals rather than Bloomingdale's. Nobody shops at Bloomingdale's in here. Claire's. I'm trying to think. Hey, get your ears pierced. Hey, you know, Forever 21. Okay, so like, you're going to be Zoomies, Tilly's. Hey, shout out to Tilly's. Love that place. Anyway, the Bible story. You're not going to be, okay. But so like, you have this ultimate destination. You have this ultimate, you think you're headed somewhere. And then all of a sudden, you're like over here. And so how did we get there? So that's what we talked about last week. We talked about, man, the choices that you make in like life ultimately determines your final destination. And so tonight you have the lovely opportunity from hearing one of potentially, because I've, so in college, I was going to say one of my favorite speakers, but in college, she wouldn't let me hear her speak. She wouldn't. Like, she took like a ton of like Bible courses or whatever, like preaching courses or whatever, and she wouldn't let me come. Like, we were married at that point. And she's like, Aaron, I swear, if you show up, I'm not preaching. I will get an F. And so I was like, I never showed up. But this is my first time, and it's your first time too. So give it up for Lauren Edwards, my wife, my bride. Here she is. Oh, God.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Yeah, this is a treat for you, I guess, you guys. But so this is how it happened. Last Wednesday, I was internship, so you might be thinking, she's never here on Wednesdays, and suddenly she shows up just to preach? Like, that doesn't make any sense, you're telling me. So I talked with Aaron last week after my internship, called him, hey, how did your message go? I know you're starting a new sermon series. I was really excited about it, because how many times can you incorporate Dr. Seuss into, I don't know, church? So I've done it a few times as a sub, a few years ago, and I got to use Dr. Seuss into my art classes with kindergarten students, of course. So it was really cool whenever I got to hear from him. You hear me okay? I don't want to be loud. So I said to him that I was really excited that he was doing the sermon series, and I started going on like, oh, you could go with here with this Bible story with this illustration and whatnot. He's like, oh, that's really good. Sounds like you got a sermon. I said, no, I have internship next week. And he's like, oh, funny, you have spring break. So it looks like you're preaching. And my response is, well, I'll pray about it. So I don't know if any of you do that to try and get out of things. I'll pray about it. Now I'm here. So I'm hoping that whatever God put on my heart, whatever story that I decided to share with him, really is for you guys. I am naturally more, I don't know, inclined to have better conversations when they're one-on-one. So this is like intimidating, even though half of our youth is gone tonight. But yeah. So let me just start off by praying, because I fully believe that we have to ask the Holy Spirit to use us as a vessel, even in nerves and everything. So I'm going to go ahead and pray. Jesus, we just thank you for this evening. God, and I just thank you for the students here at the factory here at Hope Church in Springfield, Missouri. God, it's not by accident that any of them are here, especially on spring break when they could be anywhere else. So God, I just thank you for each one of them, God. And I just ask that the words that you've spoken in your word are going to be fresh and concise this evening. And I just give you permission just to use my mouth as a mouthpiece to communicate exactly what you need me to communicate, even if it's one person. If one person needs to hear this message tonight, God, I thank you for that. And we just give you full reign and we give you all glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so I think my first slide, I was going to chat a little bit about me. I've done a couple panels here and there, and so I've gotten the opportunity to share back here, up here. Some of you might know me, some of you might kind of know me. Oftentimes, Courtney can probably attest to this, the pastor's wives are kind of in the background, but I've heard the saying, like, a strong man, like, behind every strong man is a stronger woman, so I'm going to believe that, and hopefully for this evening. But part of the reason I haven't been here on Wednesday nights, at least consecutive, I guess, is I've been in my master's program, which for you guys that aren't even close to that, some of you aren't, well, one is close. You go through 4 years of school for your bachelor's degree, and then afterwards, if you're crazy like me or like Courtney, you'll go get your master's degree or Romy, which is like 4 years or something crazy. So that's where I've been. It's been a roller coaster. It's been really, really hard, but God called me into my master's of clinical mental health counseling. That's the technical term. So that's the core of who I am. Just the obstacles I had to go through to get there has been really hard, but I think the hardest thing is missing out really back here. I'm not just saying that because it sounds good, but even before Aaron was youth pastor, like, I was here. I was sweating it with him, like, you know, the last 2 years we've been out at Desperation, which is behind me. That's our life. You guys really are our life. When people ask, hey, do you have kids? Because we've been married for 4 years this July. What? They're like, when are you having kids? Well, we already have kids, so we're good. But for the last 2 years, we've spent our anniversary up in Desperation in separate tents for a whole week with stinky kids. But we love you, and that's why we do it. And we love Desperation. So this is my little plug for Desperation. If you haven't signed up, please, please do that. Raise your hand if you've signed up for Desperation. Yeah. Holla. Okay. Any first-timers? No first-timers? Okay. Yeah. Olivia. Woo-hoo. So if you're not able to go to Desperation and you really want to, make sure you connect with Pastor Aaron or Pastor Romy about that. See if there's anything in the way that we can help you with, because it really is awesome getting connected not only with the Lord, not that you can't connect with the Lord here, but getting connected with the factory students for a whole week with your leaders. Several pictures up there. I wish you could see the bottom better because Letitia's face is priceless up there. We go whitewater rafting, we hike, but this year we're not mandatory with hiking. So anyways, not going to spoil everything. So if you guys want to go to the next slide. So when I show pictures like this, it's kind of showing the core of who I am. I love being personal with each person I come into contact with. If you've ever taken the top or the strength finders, one of my strengths is individualization. So if you've gotten the opportunity or I've gotten the opportunity to sit with you, and if I haven't, like, just know that my desire is to genuinely and authentically know each one of you. And I'm hoping that in May that will change drastically. So even with all that, here is a picture that I'm going to show you. These are some of my best friends that I've had all through college and even till now. Let's see. Nope. One of them is a youth pastor's wife as well. But the reason I show this is because that's okay. I got a backdrop. The reason I show this is because when Aaron was talking about all the places you'll go, I thought of a story that was very similar to you're trying to do something meaningful, and you end up somewhere you don't want to be. And so this was from 2 years ago. We decided, all my friends decided, oh, we're going to go to Kansas City. We're going to have this girl trip, which was kind of successful. It's kind of hard with all women. It's like they're super indecisive with a lot of things. Glory. Those memes where it's like, where do you want to eat? I don't know. Yes, the notebook. It's not that simple. It was that in a sum. So we decided that we wanted to go to this all family center event. This event in Kansas City, because it was free, which is hard in a big city. And it was wholesome, which is hard as well. But there was this family event that was supposed to be having, like, food trucks, a movie, and a concert. So we put in our GPS. We get all ready. We get in our cars. We're on our GPS. We have our, We had our GPS set up. Our windows are down. And we're driving closer and closer, and our GPS is saying the destination's about a mile and a half. But we hear music. So we're like, how many places in Kansas City have that loud of music? We're just going to park, and we're going to pay for parking. We're going to walk in. When we walk in, we have to get ID. So we're like, oh, that's kind of weird. This is a family event, but maybe there's alcohol and they just don't want to ID everyone. So we go in. There's no food trucks. Maybe we missed it. We're late, so whatever. So we're hanging out. We're like, okay, this is kind of cool. There's no kids anywhere. That's all adults. Still hasn't, like, rang a bell. We just think we're in the right place still. Until the music starts. And the nicest way to say it is Miley Cyrus is basically on stage. So we're like, okay, this is not where we thought we wanted to be. It was not a family event. So we end up looking on our phone, and we did find out that we are like the Power and Light District, downtown Kansas City, where all the bars are. And we were trying to get to this family event. I'd like to, yes. So in our own decision, we could have probably stayed there and been like, okay, whatever, we're here, we're going to make the most of it. But really, that wasn't the scene we wanted to be a part of. We did actually get back in our car, paid for another parking, and this is actually where we ended up, which, of course, you have to take 1,000 pictures. So if you want to find more, you can find those on Facebook. So that's all to say is that you can, like Aaron was saying, you can have an external GPS of where you want to go. And if you're not intentional and purposeful with making sure that you're getting there, like, externally, you can go all these different routes. And so, like, for instance, you can end up in a bar scene, or you can end up where you actually want to go. This story kind of illustrates, in a way, with where we're going to be at tonight. In Genesis chapter 13, verse 1 through 13, if you want to turn to your Bibles, page 8. If you're having a hard time, it's the first book in the Bible. Yep. All right. So we're going to go ahead and read that. Actually, before I go there, the reason I picked this is because as I was talking with my story about places that you can go, if you make the different choices, there is a story in Genesis, which some of you might be aware of, but the story of Abraham and Lot. Drop the mic. So, we're going to go to the scripture. So Abraham went up from, Abram, sorry. So Abram went up from Egypt, he and his wife Sarai, and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the Negev. So, just to give you a background on that, And I'm sure some of you have already heard the background story of Abram slash Abraham. He grew up in the land of Ur, or however you want to say that. His ancestors actually worshiped moon gods. They did not come from a place of worshiping like Yahweh. And so he was the first generation actually to hear the voice of God. So right before this, that's what happened. Lot happens to be his nephew. Lot, the whole reason that he starts following Abram is because his father passes, and it was just kind of a custom that you travel with your family. So, going on. Now, Abram was very rich in livestock and silver and in gold, and he journeyed on from the Negev as far as Bethel to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, to the place where he had made an altar at the first. And there Abram called upon the name of the Lord. And Lot, who went with Abram, also had flocks and herds and tents. So based off of different commentaries, it sounds like at this time Lot was also an adult. So he had a choice to not go with Abram. It's not like he was a child that didn't really have a choice. But he followed his uncle regardless. So that the land could not support both of them dwelling together, for their possessions were so great in that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. At that time, the Canaanites and the Perizzites were dwelling in the land. Then Abram said to Lot, "Let there be no strife between you and me, and between your herdsmen and my herdsmen, for we are kinsmen. Is not the whole land before you? Separate yourself from me. If you take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if you take the right hand, then I will go to the left." And Lot looked up, lifted up his eyes, and saw that the Jordan Valley, which I thought was interesting since we have a Jordan Valley, was well watered everywhere like the garden of the Lord. So like the Garden of Eden, like the land of Egypt in the direction of Zoar. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot chose for himself the Jordan Valley, and Lot journeyed east. So I'd like to mention right here, first of all, Abram is his uncle, so therefore he's his elder. It's really interesting that Abram gives Lot the choice to choose. Okay, look around, you get the first pick. Like, I kind of thought about this the other day. Like, let's say you haven't eaten at all, and you have a whole, like, you have a slice of, or you have a pizza and there's only two slices left, and you're like, I don't know, let's say you have a younger sibling, and you say to that younger sibling, "Hey, you choose the piece you want." And you know, with pizza, there's always a larger piece versus a smaller piece. It's never cut evenly. And of course, your younger sibling's gonna choose the best looking one. That's like kind of what I thought of in this moment. Like, what the heck, Abram? You are the elder, take like, what is yours? Look at the land. If you see the Jordan Valley looks more plentiful, why wouldn't you just take it? Like, he'd have to submit to that leadership. Like, you're the one leading. You're the one that heard from the Lord. He said he was promising you the land. So to backtrack even for you to understand why they're traveling, they left the land of Ur, because the Lord had instructed him to Abram, go to the place that I show you. Very vague. But Abram was faithful, and he followed him. So here they are venturing out. They're in this land where they're supposed to conquer wherever God's going to show them. And Abram's like, God's going to give me whatever. Like, God already promised me the land anyway. So that was basically his attitude. So he told his nephew Lot to choose where he wanted to go. So that just shows some of Abram's character, just even right there, and trusting in the Lord. So Lot chose for himself the Jordan Valley, and Lot journeyed east. Thus they separated from each other. Abram settled in the land of Canaan, whilst Lot settled among the cities of the valley and moved his tent as far as Sodom. So here I also want to note that just because you choose, you might be in a period of life where you're like, okay, I have this direction. This looks really fruitful. This looks kind of like dull. So that's kind of where Lot was. So it's not a bad thing for you to say, okay, this is fruitful, so I'm going to choose this direction. It's on the other side where there's fruit, but they were also aware that Sodom, the city of Sodom, was known for its wickedness and knew that that was there as well. So the fact that he still knew that, even though it looked fruitful, he chose that direction. So just for a reminder for you guys too, like that even if something looks fruitful, knowing that there are areas where you don't want to go towards like the gray areas. So now the men of Sodom were wicked, great sinners against the Lord. So when Abram left, and then he started going towards the land of Canaan, and Lot is going in this direction, there's a lot of what happens in between of that. So if you guys know anything about Abram, his name then transforms to Abraham. God calls him Abraham and promises him to be a father amongst the nations. So that was the promise that he was holding on to when he left his country place. He had a direct relationship with God. He had dialogue with God. He was the first of his I guess ancestors to have that experience. So this is just a tale of the two men. So we have Abraham and Lot. They come from the same family line. So it's interesting that God called out to Abraham, and yet even in the same like family line, he didn't call out to Lot. There wasn't a direct relationship with Lot. So, I mean, at least there's no recording of that. There's no dialogue that Lot has with God. And so I'm wondering how much of that had like an impact on his decision to have wise decisions and moving forward and closer to the Lord. Then you have Abram, who also lives by faith. He's a radical believer. He just left up and left where he had grown up his whole entire life. He takes all of his possessions and he goes wherever God, this new Yahweh that he's never known before, and he's following him. Where Lot, so you have lived by faith, Lot lives by sight. He looks out and he sees where it's fruitful, and he sees Sodom. Sodom, if you guys, I'm not going to just assume that you know the story, but Sodom was really known for its wickedness, as it said in the scriptures. They were known for sodomy, homosexuality, just known for a lot of wickedness and going against the Lord. So Lot moves his entire family there. It goes on through chapter 18 and 19, where Lot gets so comfortable to the point where these two men who are believed to be angels come, and they're warning, hey, we're going to bring brimstone and fire to Sodom because the Lord, you know, this is an abomination to the Lord. And on the other side of that, these men come to Abram as well and notify Abram, hey, this is what's going to happen. Abram immediately starts interceding on behalf of Sodom. And it's amazing the kind of faith this man had, especially since he didn't have anyone to look up to show this demonstration on how to have a relationship with God. And he starts interceding, and he is negotiating even with God at this point. I think this is in chapter 19 where he's saying, okay, if you'll will you save Sodom? Will you not bring down this wrath if there is 50 righteous men? 40, 30, 10, or 20, 10. And finally they got there, and there wasn't like one righteous person. That was Lot. And it's just interesting to even think that Lot was technically righteous, even though he had made a lot of compromises throughout his life. There's just not enough time to go into everything that Lot, what ended up happening with Lot. So we go back to Abram. He is full of wisdom. He is walking in faithfulness and truth for what the Lord has promised him. Then you have Lot, who is foolish. There's the genealogy leading to Christ from Abraham because of his faithfulness and walking in that. And then there is the genealogy of the Moabites and the Ammonites. Just for history's sake, they weren't great people, and they ended up fighting each other for the rest of history. Which basically what happened with Lot, after he was saved from Sodom and Gomorrah, he went to the cave places. He was isolated, whereas Abraham is conquering all this land, and you know, his descendants are going to be as many of the stars. Basically, Lot stops with the Moabites and Ammonites because he ends up having sexual relations with his daughters. Okay, So completely two different lifestyles, but they came from the same family. All to get to the point that Abraham was blessed and that Lot was full of destruction. And it started with small choices. When Lot was given the option to look at the east and the west and seeing that there was potential danger with Sodom, he still made the choice because of what it looked like. So, if you want to go to the next slide. So the biggest thing that I want you guys to walk away with this story, is that there's going to be a lot of different choices you guys are going to have to make, like Aaron said. You can have this internal GPS that you want to follow Jesus for the rest of your life. And externally, you might make some choices based off of what you can see. But in 2 Corinthians, Paul says, it's not by sight, but by... So that's an illustration even going back to Abraham. So I want you guys to know that you get to choose. Regardless of your experiences, regardless of your background, whether you are the first generation Christian, or if you are the fifth because whatever, or if you're a pastor's kid, the devil wants you to believe that you don't get to choose, that you're just a kid, or my parents get to make the decision to go to church or not. You really do get the small choices, and God gives you the authority to walk in those choices, to maybe be the first Christian in your family, to stand up for faithfulness, to stand up for righteousness. Because it is easy to go towards the things that look fruitful, but on that side, there's also some of that gray matter, where it's Sodom, or it could be that extreme, or it could be not as extreme. So those choices seem small and meaningless, but are often the things that propel you into your future. So if, Tim, you want to come back up, close this down. So I don't know where you're at. I don't know if you've made a lot of choices, like Lot, where, well, that's the way it's always been. That's what's been guided for me. I haven't known any better. Or if you've been born into, you know, Christianity where it's just kind of made sense, like you just do the right thing. I don't know where you're at, but I feel like there are some areas in your guys' lives that you really do need to align and make sure that you're on the right path, that you aren't just going through the motions. If you, going back to my story, like if you're set out for one place and you end up another, like are you going to retract your steps and be like, no, God, I want to be faithful. I don't want to be foolish. I don't want all these things. I don't want to be like living a life of destruction. God, I want to be faithful and I want to be blessed. And I know that story can feel like so redundant because it's one of like the basic stories you guys probably heard when you were in e-kids, pre-kids, wherever you're at. But I just hope that there is like even just a little nugget of truth that stuck with you guys. If there's something in that story that just struck you, just don't ignore it. The Holy Spirit speaks in different ways, and if it encourages you, just even go back and read the story and find other truths besides what I said. Because sometimes I'm not the best at articulating that, but the Holy Spirit totally can through the Word. So, your guys' responses tonight. First, if you guys need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to make you make more godly choices than you have been making, then I want you guys to be able to go to a leader and be able to say that. I need you to pray that the Holy Spirit comes upon me because right now I'm not making the best choices. Or maybe number two, today at the core of who I am, I want to choose to live radically for Jesus. What Abraham did, he heard a voice from a new God, the only God, Yahweh, who said, go to the place I'll show you, and I'll make you a father of many nations. And that was a big deal because his wife Sarah was barren. She couldn't have kids. So God knew to tap on the heartstrings of Abraham. He knew that would get him moving. So what is it going to be tonight that God has to pull on your heartstrings? to get you moving into faithfulness, to go out and seek the promise that God's going to give you. So I just encourage you, if you want to stand up, we're going to worship, we're going to respond. And I encourage you, there's going to be leaders around this room. If you guys want to go to the back corners of the room, connect with one of those leaders. Be able to say honestly to them, I need empowerment. I need the Holy Spirit to come and convict me, because there are areas in my life that I've gotten so content with, so okay with. I'm going down a different path than maybe my parents have lined up for me. And maybe that's good, maybe it's not. But there will become a time, just like Abraham. Abraham had a time where he was being the leader for Lot, and it came a time where they had to separate. There will be a time where you have to separate from your parents, you have to separate from the leaders, and you have to make choices. So what will it be? Will you be a Lot, or will you be an Abraham? Will there be fruitfulness following your family? Will you be the first to start that generation? So Jesus, we just thank you for this evening. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your Old Testament, for the promises that were laid out for your people. And God, thank you that not all of the promises were fulfilled in the Old Testament, so that the New Testament and for today, God, we can be encouraged for what your word has said and what it continues just to reveal, that you are so alive, Father. So God, I just pray that if there is even one student here, God, that doesn't know you, doesn't know this Yahweh that calls out to deep, it calls to the deepest parts of where we're at, it reaches us when no one else can, like that desperation song, it's so wonderful. Truth, that's what's found in your word. You come and find us when no one else could. And so God, I just pray from the depths of these kids' hearts, God, I just pray that you would just speak to them, that you'd call them out to be more. I pray that they would be interceders, that if there's areas in their life that they just need to go running away from, God, I pray that you just show that to them right now. Holy Spirit, you have full authority this evening. We just ask that you come and you speak to the hearts of these students. We love you, God, and we give you this evening.